But that doesn't, so here's part two. No, wait, segment two of part two of Sales a Story. And in part one, you know, we were doing a meditation, not Shavasana, and then sharing some amazing wins. And if you're listening to the recordings and you started here, go back to that part, because what it does is it gathers the energy. And for any inspired action, for any movement forward, for any real learning that happens, we always want to gather the energy first. Otherwise, we're in a grouch place, we're in a nothing can happen place, and then we're trying to move something and it's like moving uphill. So all of the work that we do that energetically begins this call is a part and parcel of why things move so quickly for everyone here, right? So it's the foundation. All right, what I want to do, anything else wanting to be said before we go forward? All good for now? All right, so I just want to do a bit of a review of some of the things that I thought were really important from the last call. And again, can't get to all the points, but just an energetic grounding around it and just a reminder of some of the places we were at on Thursday, so just a few days ago. So part one of Sales a Story. And really, the biggest thing that we were accomplishing together is a huge mindset shift around sales. A really huge mindset shift around sales. And I told the story about my students. I didn't know I was going to tell that story off the cuff, where they wanted manuscript conventions, you know? So got it. Thanks, Diane. So they wanted all the externals, like how big are the margins? And, you know, when they're writing a paper at university and which font should they use? And they were so obsessed with that they couldn't hear what I had to say about where words come from, where writing comes from, where stories come from. So I had to give them that. I made it very specific for them so they could relax and actually hear the core teaching, right? And so when we approach sales, it's often like that. We're looking for, not in this community, not anymore, right? But we're looking for techniques or scripts or tactics. And while these can be useful, and I'll give you some ways of approaching that, some questions that are useful, some ways of thinking about sales, which for us, when we're doing high ticket work, comes in what we call strategy sessions. Right. And you can name it whatever you want, but here, we call them strategy sessions. And so I'll give you some ideas about it. But the more foundational idea is that huge mindset shift around what the out there in the industry people think of as sales. And I gave the example of the used car salesman, the actual used car salesman, like a stereotype, but I actually ran into that person many years ago, and Yvonne, and why I wanted Yvonne on my team. She's a dear friend, she's a client for many, many years, but also she just sat there and held space for a fellow student for hours, like, hey, what do you really want to do? And let me listen, and how can I support you? And what's bothering you now? And you know, what are you afraid of, right? Just held space until he could make the decision that was aligned for him. And I'm like, that's who I want on my team. Used car salesman on the one side, Yvonne embodying what's beautiful about sales on the other side. And as heart-centered entrepreneurs, you already know a lot about sales. That's what I want you to know. I want you to come from a place of power and a place of knowingness, and not that's something out there that sometimes it's also that mean people do, or it's a horrible necessity of business, or it's not that at all. When we, in the way that we talk about it here, the other analogy I gave is like, imagine my mom, who was a nurse, walking up to somebody bleeding, spurting blood in the street. Well, isn't she going to offer to help? Isn't that the heart-centered thing to do? And that's all that sales is. It's like, hey, somebody needs help. And as entrepreneurs, if it's not a hobby, then we use an energy exchange that's called money. It's a way of exchanging value in our culture, right? So, and you know, if she just walked on by, how horrible would that be? Like, there are people who need your help. Why wouldn't you offer to help them? Why wouldn't we as heart-centered entrepreneurs? And so what's really important about sales is just about listening and trying to help people. That's it. Not being attached to the outcome, try to help them with whatever's best for them. Ask them questions, find out what's wrong, see how you can help people, like be a human being. I don't know how else to say it, right? We have so much unconditioning that we need to do of the strange conditioning that we have around sales. And I was like, be a human being. When you've helped a friend through a divorce, or you've helped them when they've lost a loved one, or they've just had a bad day, you have these skills already. I know, because you're amazing people, right? So, and then all the other parts about sales simply follow naturally from this. It's a natural thing that you have. And then it's also, this I didn't say last time, but it's a skill that you can hone. And I'm really interested in sales. I want to understand sales because I want to do it really, really well. Because I want to be able to hold space for people in the best way that I know how. the more skilled I am at sales and making friends with that word, you can call it whatever you want, but the more skilled I am, the deeper I can hold space for that person, the more I can help on this planet. So, because sometimes maybe there's somebody, say 5 years ago, I'd been holding space for them in a strategy session. There's somebody that I really could have helped, but they said no, because they just couldn't quite find the courage inside them. And I'd be able to help them find that courage better now, for example. It's not making offers to somebody who isn't the right person. We send them away with love, right? It's somebody we really know we can help. We want to increase that skill. We also talked about in the bonus for afterwards, Karen's bonus question afterwards, she talked about, you know, should I do cancer coaching? I'm a relationship coach now. I used to do cancer coaching. So I expanded the analogy, and some of you may not have been there live. You'll have that recording available. You know, if somebody was bleeding in the snow, right? And then somebody else has a car that they need pushed out of the snow. That's what we do here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada in the winter, right? We help people, you know, it's just very common. If there's somebody stuck in the snow, there's a bunch of people who don't know them pushing them out of the snow. It's just what happens if somebody gets stuck. So my mom could instead of helping that person, could end up pushing that car out of the snow, because that's what Canadians do, right? In the snow. But then as entrepreneurs, there's confusion. Well, is she a nurse or is she a push the car out of the snow pusher? And the confused mind doesn't buy. It's like, I don't know what to ask her for because I don't know who she is. So they go ask somebody else. So know who you are and what you're offering. Know what that thing is. And we had the offer creation retreat. So lots to help you with that. But know who you are and what you're offering. And the more deeply you know your transformation, and you'll know that by talking to people. Remember I showed you that in the offer creation. We talked about that in the offer creation retreat. And also I showed you that picture that I was so proud of making myself. Very simple graphic. I was so proud. You know, here's the transformation we offer. Here's what's lying around on the shop room floor. Here's a real live person. Those things need to interact with each other. We actually do it on the court. When our what we think is our transformation is infused with what we've got lying around on the shop room floor. Jonathan, we had talked about this in terms of, you know, one way you can enter in. Can I mention something? It was a conversation from a couple of months ago, but it came up here. It's like, you happen to not have been born in the US. You've got something lying around on the shop room floor. Right? By not having been born in the US, you have but you live in the US, you have a particular angle, a particular point of view. You know what it is to move to a place, and that can be of advantage to you as you're carving out what the transformation is. And it might be who your ideal client is. It might be something of their background. It might enter in different ways. But we are whole human beings. We have an idea of what the transformation is. We figure out what's lying around on our shop room floor. It's more than we think. Helps us own our value. And then we encounter real life people like Anna Maria, like you were talking about with that person you were talking to yesterday. So great. And as they ask for things, as they want things, as they describe what it is they're looking for, then we get a better and better idea of what the transformation is that we offer. And we pick up more things off our shop room floor. It's got to be on the court. Otherwise, it's this theoretical idea. And when we wait 10 years and we never get it out there, we just talk to real people and try to help them. Why wouldn't we? And then mediating all that is finding the words to say it. These things happen in conversation. It just happens in conversation. And there are different stories. I don't want to go into this really deeply, but there's different stories playing out. It just makes sense. There's the stories that we're sharing. Like I shared a story about my mom in the snow. I didn't know I was going to share that story, right? But in order to get a point across, and in strategy sessions, it's the same thing. It's like, wow, what you're saying reminds me of such and such. You know, we might be using a story or a story of a client that had success in that area that they're looking for. Story that shows them what we know what they feel like, right? So there's this, we're always telling stories, even when we don't think we are. There's the ones we're telling. There's the ones inside of us. And sometimes they're going, oh no, will this person say yes? Oh no, when's the next shoe? You know, like, John, when's the next shoe going to drop or whatever it is? Or we're going, wow, you know, I'm so excited to talk to this person. I wonder what's going to happen. So the stories inside us really affect what's going to come out of our mouths, right? And then the same thing is happening with that other person. They're saying the words and there's stuff going on inside them. And all of that is in play when we're having a strategy session. And whatever you call that conversation, we had one of our clients listen about strategy sessions for a couple of months and saying, like, that doesn't apply to me. That doesn't apply to me. Wasn't listening. And then she said, she's naturopath. And she said, oh, you mean doctor's visits? Oh, I do those like all the time, every week, lots of them, you know, different names. So whatever you call it, not does this apply? How does this apply? If you have a business, you do something called strategies, like that may be called by a different name, but you do strategy sessions. So apply, you know, just figure out how it applies to you. Here we call them strategy sessions. All right. So when we think of this framework of we're trying to help people, we're just being human beings, having a real conversation, figuring out what's wrong, and then helping them the best we can, it gets to be so much more fun. And instead of that thing that we want to farm out as a necessary evil, sometimes we think of that when we're really heart-centered, I just want to do my thing, I want to farm that, sell those sales out as soon as possible. No. When you have really understood about sales, you don't want to farm it out to somebody else, you'll want to keep it. That's where you're on that cutting edge with somebody who you could maybe help, and they're on the verge of a decision of change that will change their life. So you want to reach that place, and then maybe you'll have somebody helping you out. You can, as your company grows, for sure, helping you out with that, right? But you want, the way to do that well is to be so reluctant to giving it away because you have fallen in love with it. And then that love will be transmitted to them as well. Otherwise, they're picking up that dirty, awful used car salesman thing. It's like hard way to go, right? So that's some of where we were, adding a few more pieces as well. And let me see. Any questions or comments about that? That was mostly review. I added a few more things and I wanted to draw the threads together so we're all standing in the same place. Making sense? All good? Okay. So a strategy session is a particular thing. It's a particular kind of conversation, and it's like a particular, I call it a genre. Sometimes you could call it a particular container. It's different from a connection call. It's different from speaking from stage. It's different from other kinds of conversations. And when we know when we're not in a strategy session and when we are, that's really, really helpful. And we want that other person to know too. And there's some key words that you can use. Here's some helping things. So first be a person. And then let me give you some hints that will help you navigate this kind of conversation. So a connection call versus a strategy session. Connection call, you're mutually helping each other. It's like Jonathan's two lunches that he had yesterday and today probably, right? Just catching up, chatting with somebody, maybe it's somebody new, and you're mutually helping each other. Maybe you're sharing stories. Maybe you're going to go on a trip together. Maybe you're going to be new best friends, whatever it is. That's very different from a strategy session. A strategy session has as its framework, let me help you find your best next step in X. And X is the transformation that you offer. So before strategy session starts, you want there to be an agreement that that's the kind of conversation you're entering into. Because in the context of that, we have permission to say things, and it makes sense to say some things that doesn't make sense, that don't make sense in another context. If it's a connection call, it would be strange for there to be an offer at the end that can feel like a bait and switch. I thought we were meeting to help each other, and that'll be, you know, $29.95 or whatever it is. Please, like, what? So we want the agreement. Hey, and it's really easy and natural for that to happen. So Diane, you know, you're meeting with a grandma. Like, I love that. That's such a quintessential ideal client for you, right? They might come in the form of a brother or a sister or whatever it is, but grandma with the autistic child, really great touchstone for you of your ideal client, right? So your ideal client is saying, wow, you know, maybe something like this, my grandson, I don't know what to do with him. And it's so hard. And he's got so much like energy that you would know better than I do, but I'm making this stuff up, but something like this. He's got so much energy that he doesn't know what to do with it. And sometimes he's just like, you know, he's so unhappy, and I get tired. I don't know what to do with that, and something of their pain, right? And you go, wow, there's a lot going on, and you be a human being. I'm so sorry. That sucks. That's hard. That's, you know, and you say it in your own language. You know, maybe you wouldn't, like, I might say that sucks. You might not use that language, right? It's a real language, right? And then you say, listen, you know, would you like to hop on another call? Because we're, you know, we're having this connection call, or having lunch, we've got to go for whatever it is in 10 minutes. And do you want to hop on another call, or do you want to meet for, it could be done over lunch? I used to do them in my home, you know. Do you want to meet next sometime next week. I'd love to, or, you know, sometime soon, whenever that is, you book it. So would you like me to, I don't mind holding space for you to see what your best next step is. And if they're understanding it more too, it's like, wow, you know, you got a lot of pain in my area. Sometimes I say it explicitly. Sometimes I don't. It depends. I can't even remember. Jonathan, when you, I don't remember. It was like, we're sitting beside each other for dinner. It's like, do you want to be on call? And actually it was, you met Yvonne first, right? So Yvonne is amazing. She will listen. She will do all those things I just talked about, right? You know? And so whether it's you or another person, would you like to meet? Just to see if we can figure out what the best next step is for you with your grandson. Because that must really hurt. You mean you would do that for me? You'd hold space for me? Yes, I will hold space. And then you actually do it for whatever the best next step is for you. Fantastic. And then you book the call. And then once you have that agreement, we'll figure out what your best next step is. Later on, you can have, you know, when you're just beginning, you just do that. You start really simple. As you're, you know, for those with more experience, you know, we have a survey that we have people fill out. It gives us a better idea of what their pain is and what they want and so on and so forth. You don't need that right away, right? We have a booking calendar. You don't need that right away. It's like, what time do you want to meet, right? So start with low tech and then build other things on. And don't think that you have to build low tech. I mean, really, the word that came to me is a businessy word, but big deals. The big deals are just helping people a lot. Can happen very informally by, you know, making an appointment on your phone with your calendar, you know? So you book that appointment with them. And then when you meet with them, just some key things that help to structure the conversation. So we know that we're in that container of what's finding the best next step. Say hi, be a human being. You don't have to leap right into things, right? Connect, whatever it is, because they're a human being. It's nice to connect with people. How was your day? Whatever it is, right? Hey, I love that shirt you're wearing, you know, connect. And then I asked to record the call. And the words I use is like, you know, can I record this call? Usually I say this for the purpose of internal training within my company. It's not to broadcast to the world, but that means that myself and my sales team can meet. And actually, to be honest, like we still rarely have ever used those recordings, but I know I have permission then, right? Is it okay if I record this call for purpose of internal training within my company, right? And very rarely they say no, usually they say yes. And then you've got a stock of recordings of yourself holding these kinds of calls. You can hone this skill and get better at it. And then when you have somebody helping with you, you can say, here's one that I did a while ago with this person and you got their permission. I repeat those words on the recording to make sure that I've got their permission on recording. And I let them know if they change their mind, we'll just stop the recording, just be a human being, right? So then you repeat the agreement. Hey, just want to make sure we're on the same page. We're here to find your best next step with your business and your life. Does that sound okay? And usually they're going like, yeah, thank you. And a great next question to ask. So there's a couple of things that help structure it. Here's a few structuring things that help to get the conversation on track. You know, I love the sentence, what made you decide to invest your time to talk to me about your grandson today? You know, it doesn't have to be rocket science, not a big blah, right? Just what made you decide to talk to me about your horse today? You know, what made you decide to talk to me about Heidi, if the mom is really, you know, in that difficult state, about your, you know, really challenging day that you had yesterday, today, just a couple of words about what it is. Because they're making decisions and investing. What made you decide to invest? It helps them know they're already making decisions. It's just noticing what's already true. They're already making decisions and they're already investing. They're investing time, which is really precious, right? And then listen for their pain. Listen for their pain. So we touched on a lot of that, both in Q&A calls and in Sales a Story last time. And I wanted to gather that up and then start talking a little bit more about the structure of the strategy session itself, how to hold those calls. And then we'll have more time tonight for questions. And I want to do some more mindset pieces because my intention is for you to just fall in love with sales. Absolutely head over heels, fall in love with sales. That is a great place to be in your company. And if you are getting closer to that, as we're talking about it here in sales, the story, raise your hand. It's like, oh yeah, it's not a used car salesman thing. It's like, yeah, thank you. And Diane, thank you for that, you know, honesty, right? Oh, it's, you know, again there, right? And Yvonne told her story last time too. It's like she, you know, took her a while to wear that hat. Her heart-centered entrepreneurs, you were so good at this. The ones who come in as used car salesmen and want to be good at it, that's hard, you know? Because it doesn't work very well. When you're actually heart-centered, want to help people, you've got the best skills imaginable that they're going to have to develop. You know what I mean? If they're actually going to get good at sales. All right. Let me see. Couple things that I just want to gather the threads of. I'm not going over everything, but just some of the places we've been and some of them on the Q&A calls. Last time Diane was saying, you know, how much should I follow up with somebody? Well, when we have this, you know, when maybe we can have a strategy session call, you know, somebody that's in my ideal client zone. When we have this framework and you think of my mom and the person bleeding in the street, well, like you just follow up until there's clarity, right? My mom might go, hey, are you okay? Hey, you know, she'd try to stop the blood. I mean, maybe they're, this is horrible, but this was like coming to mind for me, right? They're lying in the snow and dead, and the paramedic had pronounced them dead. She's going to stop, you know, right? if they go away, I don't want you anymore, but this is what we're afraid of, right? But it doesn't feel like that. When we're heart-centered, people receive it. And often, you know, when you're following up with them a number of times, they go, oh my goodness, thank you so much. This and that happened. I didn't get back to him. Sorry. I'm so glad they followed up. Think like a human being. You're offering help. You're offering support. It's going to be received by the right people. If it's not, and they're nasty, they're not your ideal client anyway. All right. I want to add a couple of other pieces and then start talking about the structure of the strategy session itself. I know it's a lot of information, but I'm also pulling together some things that we've done recently. Heidi on the Q&A call yesterday, she said it was a great question. Heidi, you were asking, and I'm not going to redo the whole thing here, but you know, how do you avoid saying something like, hey, you know, avoid coaching, because it's not supposed to be about coaching, it's supposed to be about the best next step, right? When they're kind of trying to pick your brain on something, well, just, you know, give me all your work for free, you know? I will only tell you that when you pay me. That's not the energy of it. And if they're asking, and the example from yesterday, Heidi's like, well, you know, why did you put Ethan and what kind of, you know, home did you choose and why and all that kind of stuff. But the greater service would be, well, why are you asking that? Because it doesn't really matter in a sense what you did. What matters is them, and we're trying to find their best next step. And the quick fix answer that they're looking for, we know isn't really going to help them if it's a deep dive service that is on in the offering potential for them. So if they're just like trying to get little bits of information, you can keep going back to, we're trying to find the best next step, the real one, not the surface level answer. Well, I'll just do whatever Heidi did and then it'll work out for my kid. Well, if we just think about it as human beings, that's not true. And they'll know that too. They'll respond to that. You're actually trying to help them. All right. Let me see. I want to tell you another piece about it too. This is another piece of the mindset as we enter in. And this is something from that I love from Jay Abraham, who's a wonderful, amazing marketer, and his clients have sold billions, I believe it is. I mean, he's really, really well known. He's been in the industry for decades. And he talks about, you know, let's say we're talking to a lawyer and they said, well, you know, I know this, whatever it is, might kind of sort of protect you. So I'm going to offer you that. There's this giant loophole, but I'm not going to mention that. I'll just give you this lesser service. How would you feel about that lawyer? It's like, I've left you gapingly vulnerable over here, but hey, it'll be cheaper. Isn't that good? If a lawyer did that to you, you go, why didn't you protect me? I hired you to do a job, or I'm inquiring to do a job, right? So you're going to offer them the highest service that they're ready for. Doesn't that just make sense when you think like a lawyer who's there to protect you? Maybe that, you know, I'm thinking about something really negative. It could be something wanting something positive or avoiding something negative. It's like, well, you know, I know your brother-in-law is about to sue you. Well, I'll give you just this like really small piece and good luck. No. It makes human sense we wouldn't do that. or like taking Heidi, you know, your mom who's stressed out, got an autistic child and is ready to like almost ready to like call it quits on the planet because they're that, you know, you're not going to work with that person who's that desperate. You want them a little further, you know, further along than that. But let's say you were working with that person. That was your target audience. And you're going to go, listen, I can go for coffee with you. It'll cost you $2.37. How about that? And we'll chat for a couple minutes. Like, I'm giving extreme examples so you can see it. Like, what a disservice. So we're not going to do that. We're like, what's the, we're going to know them at their highest level. We're going to offer them the highest level service, not something they don't need. We're not going to go, hey, take this elephant. I know you don't like elephants, but take this elephant. You know, so none of you would do that. So don't worry about that. It's instead, it's the highest service that they're ready for so they can take their greatest steps forward because they have pain in your area and you want to help and serve. Sales a service is the highest service. It's where the person's making the leap. All right, let me see. Jot down your biggest aha, because I've been doing lots and lots of training. Jot down one or two or three ahas for yourself. And what's the most important thing for you right now? I just want to empty out the room a little bit because I want to do some more training and I want to make sure you have ears to hear. All right. I want to hear your ahas in just, I want to hear your ahas right away. So let's hear a couple of them. I want to hear what you've been hearing and what matters to you in this and how you've, you know, adapted this for you. So let's hear one or two of these ahas. What's opening for you now? Who'd like to go first? Yeah, Heidi, thank you.
It was actually quite a revelation that what I did is not the point, that it's not in this, in that moment, it's not my story that is the topic. In that moment, it's their story and the conversation is around their story, and it would do them a disservice to be talking about my story if we're looking to solve their situation and not to mix the stories.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. And it's right here next in my notes. So you're taking us right to the next place too. Noticing that and where we're leading, so that tells me we're right on track. Because, you know, you've worked hard in the work that you do. Everyone here, you spent years studying or training or working with people, whether you've been volunteering or helping people professionally in this work that you've done for a long, long time. And so sometimes as we get in these conversations, we want to go like, well, there's this and I've done that and I can help you with this. And I, right? But that's the wrong hero of the journey. You're not the hero of the journey. They are. And it's really easy to forget it because we've worked so hard with the work that we do. And we so know how it can help them. And we so want to tell them, here's ABC 123, here's these 5,000 things. and Heidi, again, you could there to go to the example. It's like, well, here's how I did it. And I did this and I did that. And then there's this and there's that. They think they want to hear that, but they actually don't. Because it's not the founding question of the strategy session. What's your best next step? So it helps us take a different position. And this, you led us right to a piece in my notes here. And that's that, like, what stance do you take in the strategy session? I'd tell you more about the strategy session itself and its structure. You know, who you are for them you're not the hero. You're the trusted advisor. You're not Luke Skywalker in Star Wars. You're Obi-Wan. You're the one guiding. You're the one beside them. You're the one helping them out to try to find a solution. And often we position ourselves as Luke out to save the day accidentally. It's not true at all. They are. It's their journey. We're standing beside them, giving advice, listening, trying to figure it out, knowing some things that they don't know in our field, right? So, you know, if Luke in Star Wars came up to Obi-Wan and said, tell me exactly what you did in this and this and that situation in that battle. If Obi-Wan, the mentor, is actually wise, he's going to go to what Luke actually needs and what the conversation, you know, how Luke is going to take his next steps, not you reliving glory days, you know? And we can be accidentally reliving glory days or the things we've struggled for, whatever it is. Great observation. Thank you. This tells me you're really tracking on both what I'm saying and why it matters so much. And you're hearing, whether you put it that way for, to yourself or not, the some of the structural story foundations of these conversations. Thank you. Beautiful, Heidi. Let's hear at least one more. What are you hearing in this? Yeah, Anna Maria.
What is inside of me, my inner stories, really affect how I communicate to my ideal client and how they receive my words. Or
absolutely, absolutely. And thank you for noticing that. And Jonathan, can I give an example from our conversation yesterday? That could be one example of this. Would that be all right? Thank you for that permission. So. Jonathan, you've got a lot on your plate, right? And we live in a busy world, you know, lots of people doing lots of stuff, right? So one thing that can, we can have all the right structure, systems, techniques, we could have scripts that are supposed to work and all that kind of stuff. But if Jonathan or any one of us, for instance, and it's one of the conversations we were having yesterday, is carrying a story of, wow, there's a lot to do. I don't know if I have enough time for everything. Everything is like going so fast paced. It's like I barely have time for a cup of coffee. And then we might have exactly the thing that that person needs. We might even be a really great listener normally. We might know them really well and have like all the know, like, and trust is there. We have exactly the offer for them. But that inner story that's going like, gotta make time and there isn't enough time. And that alone could unhinge the strategy session. Because a person just picks that up. Like, have you ever been to a department store and you're trying to get help? I know it doesn't happen as much these days, right? In the old days, it used to more. But you bump into a person and you know that they're just headed somewhere else. Like they're busy. They've got something to go shelve somewhere else. And they really don't want to listen to you because they're in a hurry. You're not going to stop and engage with that person. That's too hard. They're going somewhere else and you're going to go engage with the other person. That same kind of energetic effect can happen. Everything else can be right. And that one inner story can undo all the other good work, right? I'm not saying this to scare you about it. I'm saying the more we can know what's going on inside of us, and that's the inner work. The yogis call it svadhyaya, self-study. The more we can be that neutral, I think of it as kind of like a neutral slate. It's a place to be a mirror for that person. It's a place to hold space for them the best we can. You know, that's one example of it. So thank you for that, Anna Maria. Sometimes it's, you know, we're making a new offer. And even though we know it's value, some part of us, these two little, our trillions of cells are aligned, but these two little cells over here going, maybe not. What if they think it's too much or whatever it is, right? Will they pay this amount? I'm not sure they have the money, right? They're going to hear that. They're going to pick that up. It's like we're broadcasting it. We don't even know it. And the next words out of their mouth will probably be, I'm not sure, that sounds like a lot of money, right? And instead of encountering that, it's like, yep, yeah, it is. Neutral, can you hear that? Just, yep. So, well, what do you want to do? Like, that's a lot of money. Do you want to come in or not, right? Neutral. But if I have a button inside me going, oh, I don't know, they're going to think it's too much money. And they say, I think it's a lot of money. We're going to run in to justify or say, no, but, or whatever it is, right? Inner story, it's huge. Or maybe it's that we don't know the value of our work, or maybe we think that, who knows what, that person will have a particular objection. What do you know? They didn't have it before, but we're carrying it and they pick it up from us. Yes, but it is really, when I'm going to a strategy session, that's my best aim. I want to be, to the extent that I can in my day, I want to be well rested. I want to have just meditated or done Shavasana. I want to have a cup of tea beside me. I want to be able to be that in that place. And I want them to be in that place too. So Karen, who came into our community most recently, she was having a hard day and we'd met and everything was aligned for that. I'm like, want to meet later? Let's meet later. No rush. It was Wednesday night. We met Saturday instead, whether it's that person or myself. And if I'm in a rush, if I think it's got to happen now, if I think, oh no, if they don't say yes now, they're going to say no later. They'll say yes to somebody else. All that interferes. And conversely, when we, the opposite, those positive inner stories that go like, this is, I know the value of this work. I so hope this person can see it simply because it's going to change their life. If they don't, often I just feel sad because I know what might have happened for them, but they don't know and I have to let it go. Like, but that, you know, productive, beautiful inner story can serve us, deeply knowing the value of the work. And when somebody says it's a lot of money, we just go, yeah, well, of course it is, because it's a bit, you know, it's that's what it's worth. It's, we don't have energy around it. So thank you for that beautiful Anne Marie. All right, anything else that you want to add? Any other ahas you'd like to share? These are great. Yeah, Heidi.
It's just a quick follow-up question. So the neutrality versus positive. So is it standing in the neutrality when listening to their story and their pain, as opposed to, I know I can help them and be positive about that. I'm not neutral about my offering.
Right. Right. So, and nobody's ever asked it quite like that before. So I love this question, Heidi. Thank you. And maybe I've never expressed it quite in this way before. But when I say neutral, maybe the best way to put it is like, I don't have my own stuff in the way. None of my own stuff is getting in the way. And I'm a great stance to be, and this will come to some key points for holding these conversations well. Committed but not attached. It's in lots of spiritual traditions. It's in the Bhagavad Gita that the yogis, you know, draw on. Committed but not attached. Do your duty, be unattached to the outcome, is how they say in the Bhagavad Gita. Go look it up in other spiritual traditions. I'm sure it's there, you know. So I'm committed to them making a decision for themselves, whatever that decision is. I'm not attached to what that decision is. As long as I'm attached, you have to do this because I want you to do this, because otherwise, I think your life will fall apart, or otherwise, whatever that I think that the reason is that, because I want that next person to be doing this work, or because I think otherwise they're going to go to somebody else who's bad, or whatever it is. Then it's about us, not about them. We got the wrong hero of the journey again. It's really and truly about them. So that's what I mean by neutral. And then the positive part is, the positivity part would be the deeply, utterly in every cell of your being, knowing the value of the work that you do. I want you to know that it's worth double, that it's worth triple what you're charging. Not because I want you to undercharge. I want you to so know the value of what you're doing. Whatever number you're charging, multiply it by 2, multiply it by 3. And actually come to understanding, not understanding that's head, but in your heart, why it's worth that. What real change is going to happen to people when they do this? And then when you do that, when you're making that offer, it's so easy to be unattached. You so know the value of it. They'll say yes, or they'll say no. If they say no, like I said, I often just feel, you know, bad for that person. It's like, oh, you know, I'm sorry you couldn't see that. Maybe you'll see it next time. But not like heart-wrenching. It's just like, maybe you'll see it next time, you know, or I hope something else serves you, or whatever it is, that neutrality again, right? Committed to their making a decision, not staying in confusion. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. I'm not sure. Maybe I should. How about next week? Ugh, confused mind. Not worrying about whether it's a yes or no, but that they know clearly what their best next step is, because that is, after all, the structure of the strategy session, right? So thanks for that, Heidi. Does that help? Yeah, great question. Okay. All right. So you're the trusted advisor. You're Obi-Wan. You're not Luke. And watch yourself if you happen to notice that you're stepping into the role of Luke. But let me just tell you, there's like three eBooks, and let me show you, you know, there's these like 10,000 calls that we do, or let me showcase these 10,000 people who all said good things about me, or whatever it is, right? Sometimes that's ego. This is not an ego-filled group, but we all have ego, or we've all worked hard for things that we're doing, right? Instead, it's for them and about them. All right. So the structure of the strategy session, really, it's a story. It's a story. Stories move from pain, like Luke finding out that his aunt and uncle have been burned in the fire by the bad guys in Star Wars. Pain of thinking that he can't ever have the life that he wants. Pain of not knowing his father. Pain of all kinds of pain, right? And it goes to hope. Maybe it's possible. Maybe we can defeat the bad guys. Maybe we can, right? Story moves in that one, at least one kind of structure, not tragedy, the opposite, right? Moves in that way, and strategy sessions follow story. Story, we're hardwired for story. And so we start out by investigating what their pain is with them. And then the conversation naturally will start to turn to hope. There's some things that we can do to help move that along, but often what we do is we try to move too quickly. They have to be able to face that pain, or the hope and the solution isn't going to make sense to them. So to go back to Heidi, for example, autism mom who's deep in denial about how bad things are for herself and who wants to pretend that really it's okay. I'm doing fine. And then you go, here's my solution, 1, 2, 3. She doesn't care. She hasn't even faced what her real pain is in your area. And sometimes it's a deep wrenching pain. Sometimes it's just like the possibility of there's both pain and pleasure, right? I was using this example, Jonathan, you weren't on the call, but about lighting, you know, where I used to teach in Kamloops University. And I chaired the Status of Women Committee. And one of the things that we worked for while I was doing that many years ago was getting lighting on campus. But it wasn't even to keep women safe from assault. It was that people were falling into holes. You know, like the lighting was that bad, right? So pain comes in different forms, right? And so we, as a committee, were wanting to the college to understand the pain of the people, you know, on campus before they could find a solution. And until we could get the administrators to admit that people were in danger of breaking their legs, not to mention assault and so on campus, they weren't going to find even a simple lighting solution for us, right? So we start with pain. It has to be acknowledged. They have to be real with you. Otherwise, you know, and the university example is a great one because universities and budgets, why should we put money into that? We've got this, you know, whatever it is, this is something that the university wants money for, right? So they have to understand what the pain is first before they'll want the solution. And more pieces from story. There's other places in the year where we dive into the structure of story more. But I'm boring some things that you guys know from just watching the movies, right? There's an inciting incident. There's something that sparks things off. And I'm going back to Star Wars here as a great example because most people know something of the outline of that story. It's pretty iconic. So that original Star Wars movie. Luke is just kind of wandering around, bopping around, going like, life sucks. I'm here on the planet with two moons. And I'm just like my uncle. And I will never have the life of adventure that I think that my father had. And my uncle needs me on the farm. Everything's rotten, but life is like that. As long as he stays there, you know, nothing is going to move him. There's something that sparks it off. There's an inciting incident in story. Right. And one of the things that forms that in Star Wars, one of the things is like, no, I can't help. And Obi-Wan wisely says, that's your father speaking or that's your uncle speaking. Right. You're just mimicking what somebody else is saying when really you want something bigger. So at the beginning, there's got to be something that kicks it off. I mean, Jonathan, we were sitting having a conversation over dinner. Right. It's like, wow, there's more going on here than I realized. Wow, maybe I could use some support. Let's chat, right? So Anna Maria, you're the woman you were speaking to yesterday, who is a dangerous horse. And we hope, like, to give the example of a dangerous horse, so that person will seek some help before getting thrown off. And the horse maybe even, I don't know what happens in, you know, do horses even end up getting killed because they're so dangerous? Like, the horrible things probably happen in some arenas, right? Or the person gets injured or could even be thrown off, like horrible things. And that, you know, just hopefully we catch them before that happens, right? But if they're just blindly going along, going, hey, I can keep tranquilizing my horse, everything's fine. There's got to be, you know, a story has an inciting incident. Something sparked them to want to talk to you. And an example is, you know, my friend Pamela, who we were friends first, she came and did work in the community for a couple of years. I could see that she really could use the work here. But there was nothing in her that sparked that off until one day it did. And then we started talking, and she came to do the work for 2 years. It's life-changing for her, right? So there has to be something. And sometimes, you know, it's a talk that you give, or it's something that's happened in the industry to them, or they've, you know, finally that, you know, that child has run into trouble that really can't be put on, swept under the carpet now, or whatever it is, right? So some kind of inciting incident, we explore the pain. And, you know, then I'm going to switch to a different movie, Princess Bride, one of the movies I like to point to. How many of you have seen Princess Bride, by the way? So, like, some of you, half of you, okay, half of you have seen that I can see here. I've seen Princess Bride. So it doesn't matter if you've seen it or not, but there's a frame story where a grandfather is reading a story to a grandson. And then what we watch is the story that he's telling him, right? And so Diana, smile if you've seen this, if you've seen the show, right? So at one point, it looks like the hero of the story, he's dead. Like, what? Stories aren't supposed to go like this. And the grandson, it's an iconic moment in the movie. So I'm like, what? Grandpa, Wesley can't be dead. He's only faking, right? And the grandpa says, no, he's dead. And the kid is destroyed. And this is a comedy. It's light, but it actually gets to that, you know, the pit of despair. Like, the person's going, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that it was this bad. My horse is this dangerous. And also I've been tranquilizing them all along and they're in pain. And I'm the cause of it. And it's causing pain in my family. I didn't even realize, you know, that's a like tragic light. I mean, I'm using that as an example, the Princess Bride. But, you know, but in our lives, it's real. We watch those stories because there's something that resonates with us. So what do you mean Wesley's dead? He's only faking right now. Well, do you want me to stop reading? Because I can stop reading. No, keep reading, right? You want to know how it goes, but people get to that place when they really face their pain. And you have to be a real human being and help them and listen to them and hold space for them. They have to be real with you. It gets to places really hard. And then I just want you to imagine this, because you wouldn't think that you would do this, but this is what we tend to do. They get to this place that's really hard, and it's pain in our area. And this is what it feels like to them. I have my handy dandy 1-2-3. It's going to fix that. No worries. How would that feel if it were you? Yeah, you're all shaking your head. You get it as a human being, right? I'm giving you some structures, but you'll get it as a human being. It's too fast. I'm not ready for that. And even though you know, because you've worked with other clients before, you know what happens. You so want it for them. You're not the hero of the journey. We're not the hero of the journey. They are. And Obi-Wan knows that probably that Luke's going to come along and that he's going to save the day. And he already knows that Leia's his sister. And he's way ahead, right? Because he knows this journey. But he has to go at the speed of Luke. I think of your phrase, Anna Maria, about moving at the speed of trust with your horse, got to move at the speed of Luke, right? They're the hero of the journey. Like, how fast can he go? And so, or how fast can she go? So they get to this place that's really vulnerable. Like, Grandpa, why did you read me the story? And I didn't realize how bad it was going to get. Because this problem that they have, you know, it's, going back to Jonathan, it's like, hey, can you just put up, like, I don't know how people talk to you about it, Jonathan, but it's like, can you just like add a few lights for us? It'll be better, you know, right? And Jeep nods, right? And they have no idea that it's the equivalent of you know, like what will happen in their lives and when it's actually appropriate and so on. And, you know, and it's like the administrator's going, well, you know, lighting's pretty good on campus, whatever. And maybe if we just, you know, give people a couple of flashlights, everything will be okay. And then they find out and they start, it's like, if I following up that with that story, they start finding out that so-and-so just broke their leg. And this woman had to run away from this guy because she was nearly assaulted. And the administrators would be like, if they actually heard what was happening on campus, and they did put lighting in for us, you can bet, right? They'd have been in tears if they really understood. And if we just said, here's our proposal, how come you didn't hear it before? No. And they're going like, we didn't know. We're over here in the tower and we actually didn't know. I'm so sorry. Jeez. At that place in the strategy session, here's what you do. It will naturally start to turn. Like imagine ourselves as those administrators right now at a university. Are you with me? Like they're the potential client in a lighting story, okay? Wouldn't it be natural at a certain point where they're going, you mean so-and-so broke their leg and got me to the hospital? You mean that, oh, and in this case, it happened to be, it was very stereotypical. When I moved there, it felt like moving back into the 50s. It's like they were way behind, no? So it was, in this case, stereotypical male administrators who didn't really understand how women were feeling on campus too. It's changed now, right? So then they're like getting to feel what that felt like. And they're like, no way. When you walk around, you feel like that? And you're afraid that somebody's going to do what? And again, pulling out the proposals, like, why didn't you see this before? This will help. You know, no, be a human being. And you just stay with that person in that place because they've just been really vulnerable with you. Just be there for them. Listen, and these fictional administrators, I mean, it really happened, but I'm making a fictional story from this, right? Combining Jonathan's work and what happened years ago. And I'm like, geez, I had no idea. I'm floored. We wanted to fix it. We tried this, we tried that. We talked about what they tried, didn't work. Okay. Well, what if we could even just get some lights in and around the portables? Cause I know that they're the darkest place. That's where your office is, right, Michelle? You know, right? Like, would that help? Like, how do you think the women would feel then? How do you, you know, do you see it starting to turn to hope? You get that? Like, it naturally starts a normal human being conversation, but there is a structure and you know you're in that structure out of service to them, right? But it's naturally going to start to turn to hope. What if? A kind of what if? Well, what if it could be better lit? What if the women on campus could feel safe? What if it's not just women? I mean, it's not just women who could get assaulted, the men as well. We hadn't even thought about transgender in those days when I was teaching there, you know, like, although we welcomed all genders. Anyway, digression, squirrel, let me come back. So, what if we could have better lighting over in the portables? What if, you know, what? Maybe we could even bring in a lighting specialist who could tell us what's the most needed. And oh my goodness, then there's the classrooms too. I mean, it's the students can hardly think because of the glare of the lights. And what if we could have some more natural lighting? And what if, you know, the students would feel more energized? And then can you see it's like starting to gain momentum, right? The what if? And the what if they're your ideal client, the what if the pain has been in your area and the what if is in your area too, like in this fictional lighting story that I'm combining with my university story and Jonathan's work, right? What if? And they've just outlined something that is deeply around in and around your program or your service, what you do. You don't pounce on them, right? And what if? And they're starting to be hopeful now. They're starting to see that a different world is possible. And isn't it natural then just go like, do you have any questions? Yeah, how do we do this? Well, I've got an idea here and now you can show them, right? They've just asked you for your offer. Or sometimes you go, do you have any questions? And sometimes they're so floored by this vision of something better. They'll go like, no, thank you. That's great. But they've forgotten it hasn't actually happened. You know, right? It's just an idea, right? Do you have any questions? No, thank you. I feel so much better. Well, we're here to find your best next step. Would you like to see how we might be able to do this? Oh, right. Yes. Right. So the whole conversation, then it's structured, but it's also natural. Does that make sense? Because we're hardwired for story. We're helping them own their own story in the field that we were designed to serve. And if that doesn't happen, if it doesn't go from pain to possibility, they're probably not your ideal client. You know, like let's say in this fictional story, the administrators, they go, well, it's not really that bad. Well, you know, a couple people broke their leg, but who cares? Next, you know, and you find a solution for them the best you can for whatever it is, you know, the real problem on campus is there's no good food. Great. Let me introduce you to the chef. Bye. You know, he can make better food or she can make better food on campus, you know? So we find a solution for them. But the person who has pain in your area, and you're finding them in different ways, right? You're finding people who have pain in your area that you may be able to serve. If it makes sense that the trajectory of that conversation will move from that. There's an inciting incident, something that had them talking to you, right? Maybe they went to a talk and then more of they've had a conversation over dinner. Somebody introduced you to them because they know that, and it could be even, they only know a piece of the problem, but then it goes to a bigger problem because they hadn't realized how complex it is. Then it turns to hope. They're going to ask you for your offer, or you're going to offer it in that way only if they're the right person. And then you walk them through it and why it's going to make a difference in all the ways that they were looking for in that picture of hope. If that just is, as a human being, if that just makes sense, raise your hand. It's not rocket science, but when we see how it works, fantastic. Okay, really good. So as I said last time, what you're really offering is a higher version of themselves, aren't you? Like in my fictional story about administration, we really did get better lighting, but we didn't have to have conversations like that. But imagine we did. Aren't we offering that person to step into a bigger person version of themselves? Hey, I'm an administrator who cares. Hey, we can spend money on this and not that. Hey, it matters if people feel safe on campus. They have become a bigger version of themselves. We haven't just given them some lights. Whatever our field is, we've always introduced them to a bigger version of themselves. All right, let me see. One of the things that we've added, Amy's busy adding it for you right now. We have our, I just want to give you a couple things about how to follow up from this, right? And then, so we have our Q&A call coming up in 3 hours. Great time for you to be asking questions about this, like, and always be thinking, how does this apply? What is my shortest route to that next conversation with that next person? And what is it, what else do I want to know in order to actually just hope to hold that conversation? And I want you to know that people have, in this community, and again, closed multi-$1,000 deals. Don't be afraid of that language. It's offered their services to somebody who decided to step in, and they help people. That's what that means. All right. But I want us to get used to that business language if that has felt off-putting to you before, right? They've closed like multi-$1,000 deals with less than what I've given you here. Much, much less. Didn't know anything about the structure of a strategy session, but with just the pieces about, hey, go and have a conversation as a human being, know the value of what you have to offer. Don't get caught up with scripts and all that stuff. And people have done it with less than what we have. So I want you to know you're so ready to have these conversations right now. And if you've already been doing them, the next level one with that next level client, whatever is the next level for you. All right. And we have implementation week next week. So catching up on, if you miss the offer creation call, oh my goodness, right? Our half day retreat, go back and listen to that. If you miss some other calls, it's time to catch up with them. Be on connection calls with each other to help each other on the court doing this. As head knowledge, nothing happens, right? You can play a game with each other to be on the court. So then, so we have our implementation week next week, time to lean in with Marie and Yvonne and get support and masterminding help. And then the following week, Amy's probably already added them to your calendar. There's a call on Tuesday and a call on Thursday with some more key tips for sales. Because again, this is stage two, step into your big self with sales and offers. And it's foundational for our companies, right? So more support with that on the Tuesday, first week in August. Then the Thursday, it's already on your calendar. Or if not, it'll be there soon. Amy's added it. High ticket virtual retreat part two. Now, if you've already done high ticket virtual retreat with me before, you've never done this, right? So we're adding another piece to the high ticket virtual retreat in this Love Your Life community. You're not going to want to miss it. And these are foundational skills for your company. And there's always next level skills. I'm always learning more about this. If you're already good at it, you can be better at it. One person who might say no might say yes. One person who would have said yes, and you're going to send them away because they're not the right person, and you will save countless headaches. How to sift and find just the right people. There's many, many more skills that I'll be teaching you in a couple of weeks, but just get out there on the court. Just get out there on the court. Have fun with it. And the last piece that I want to empower you with before we go today in this second part of Sales a Story is show, not tell. I could speak all day on this, but show, not tell. You don't tell them what the issue is. Because like if I just waltzed in as the chair of the Status of Women Committee and said, let me do, like, I was never this person. I was always me, all right? But let me, if somebody else had waltzed in and said, you evil, bad administrators, it's dark here. And I know, here's the things that you should do and it's going to make it better. How much would they listen? What would I actually, would they actually take the action that's going to serve them, the campus and everybody, right? If I just told them, even though I can see it, other people on campus can see it, but didn't they have to realize it themselves so that they can own it? And for, this is for them as what they're creating is themselves as aligned administrator caring about the campus. I can't tell them that. That'd be very presumptuous, very egoic of me to do that. So that's why I wanted to give you the why for that. That's why you're asking them questions. That's why you're listening to their story. You're hearing how they tell it. What's their words? What matters to them? And if I was talking to administrators, I would probably, you know, I wouldn't come in with the things that, the women on the side and the men on the Status of Women Committee were telling me about why we need to do this. I would start with their top of mind problem, which is probably about budget, you know, right? So what are their problems? And then they know that we're meeting. They're probably going to expect trouble. When I became chair of the Status of Women Committee, I got invited into the vice president's office right away because they didn't know me very well. I was new on campus, like, who is this person? Ah! You know, we got along great. So, you know, show, don't tell. Ask questions. Find out what's really hurting them. See what they're, you can help guide them into a vision of hope if it's something in your, take Anna Maria's, you know? What if you didn't have to tranquilize your horse anymore? What if you actually, you know, your horse, I don't know, you know these things, right? Nuzzled up to you when you walked up. What if when you walked out, you weren't terrified that you were going to get thrown? What if, you know? And they are saying these things. You're not telling them that by the time you get to that what if part of it. Like, I just want to once, even just once, come up to my horse and not feel X, not feel guilty, that not feel, right? They're saying it. Has this given you some tools for how to navigate these very human conversations? A few more tips and tools about how to do this. I want you to be empowered to go and do this week, right now, today. This is the lifeblood of your company. This is working with people in a heart-centered way in your field to make a difference. Strategy sessions. All right. So there's so much more. Again, we'll do some more in early August, but don't stop that from having you go out there. It's like, well, where do I find these strategy sessions, Michelle? And what do I say when I'm asking for money and all these things? We'll cover them both as your questions arise. I'll give you some more tips and tools coming up in early August. But we could do a whole year on sales, and I would not run out of things to say about it. We won't. It's not the only thing that we're doing here. But also, I want you to know you have more than enough to do whatever, you know, your $5,000, $50,000, $1 million offer and up. These are the foundations. You've got it. You can go out and do this and have fun. Have fun. All right. Let's finish up today with one aha and one inspired action. And we're right at the top of the hour right now. So if you need to go, you've got another meeting or something, this recording will be here for you always. And you can go post your ahas in the program channel. That'd be a great thing. That's a great use of the program channel. If you need to leave before we finish up, if I'm a couple minutes late, go post your ahas. It will serve and support people by way of the materials of the program. So that's a great thing to do in the program channel. Diane, you're in my upper left-hand corner. One aha, one inspired action.
I think I really liked what the aha was to bring them to hope is using the what if, getting them to start to change their mindset. Uh-huh. So that to me was really, really powerful, that whole process.
Yay, you heard it. Yay. And what's your inspired action?
Oh dear.
See why we always do this. If it just had knowledge, who cares, right?
Make some connection calls. Make some more connection calls.
Fantastic. I'm so glad, because I was going to say, what I hope for all of you is like, take the shortest route to having these calls. And a connection call is a really great route. Like, because I could make my website. My first website took me 9 months, you know, make my website and then do my logo. And then, or I could just have a connection call and go straight to strategy session and be working with somebody like a few days from now, right? Fantastic thing to do, Diane. Thank you. Beautiful. Anna Maria, you're up next.
My aha is that when I speak with a potential or ideal client, just stay with them where they are, listen to their pain, and don't give the solution so fast to them. So don't be too quick.
Thank you for this. This is one of the biggest mistakes people make. Because also we think we're causing people's pain. Well, we don't want to dwell on the pain, but it's a huge gift. Sometimes it's the first time they've had a safe place to talk about what's hurting them. We live in a surface level culture so much of the time. And if we rush the solution on them, it's like they can't even hear it yet. And it comes across as, you know, pushing about us. And instead it's like, can I hold space? Can I hold space? Can I be a human being for this beautiful soul in front of me? You got it. You got it. Thank you. Yes. And what's your inspired action, Anna Maria?
Connection calls.
Brilliant. Yay. I'm really happy to hear this. Yes. And then also listen for, is this person in your ideal client zone? And be brave enough to offer a strategy session in all the ways that we've said. It's really easy, right? Listen and ask some questions. And it's like, if they're the right person who is in your ideal client zone, go ahead and offer. What do you got to lose, right? So notice that connection. It's not every person's going to be. Some people, you're going to introduce them to your great aunt who makes great cookies and that's what they're looking for. I don't know, right? But for the right people, it's a natural thing and they will be so happy that you offered. Thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Heidi.
I loved that if they don't go from pain to hope, they're probably not my ideal client.
Right.
I really like that.
Right. Yeah. See, and that tells how far along the client is too, because if they're only wallowing in pain and they only want to continually complain and they really want to be in the Ain't It Awful Club, or not your client, right, Heidi?
I wish I knew this then, but I know it now.
It's a process. And here's the thing, like every person we talk to, every person we actually work with, the more we're on the court, the faster we're going to learn. And it's just like, how we just learn and it builds our stamina, it builds our muscle, builds who we are to encounter these things. And so like, to me, this is like, bring it on, right? Heidi, you're inspired actually.
Make calls and watch The Princess Bride.
Because I love referring to that movie. It's super fun. So yeah.
I read the book a million years ago. So I'd like
fun
to watch
it. Beautiful thing to do. Have a fabulous, fabulous couple of hours. I will hope to see some of you here at 5 o'clock. Anna Maria, one more thing you want to say before we go? You're muted.
Yeah. I was wondering, I wanted to see some of the recordings that I have missed, some of the calls, I wasn't sure how to access them.
Right now we've got them, we should have them posted in Slack. If there's a recording from recent times, like from the Love Your Life community that's not posted there, just you can send a note what's the best way to do it? You can ask that question in the program channel, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking for this recording. I don't see it posted yet. Could this be posted? Because we're going to house those in Story Freedom Academy, but Amy is busy making that beautiful for you. We will have that for you soon. I'm not in charge of the timing of that. So that's a great thing. And in service to others as well, you can post that question in the program channel. That's one of the, anything that is about the program, anything about material in the program, questions, ahas, questions for the community that you want feedback on right away, that kind of thing. And this sort of question would be perfect in that program channel. Make sense?
Thank you.
Thank you for asking. As we've got the implementation, like, please do post that, because if there's anything we don't have there, we want you to have that so that you can do that in the implementation week. That's why we've got it. We've designed it that way for you. Thank you for that. Good. Anything else before we go?
Okay. Watch Star Wars again.
Yeah. A couple of my favorite things to refer to, right? Have a great, great few hours. I will see some of you in less than 3 hours. Have a great, great couple of hours. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye for now.